every week we check in with our friends, of course, at the wonderful Newman Guide. Kelly Solomon is a VP of Newman Guide Programs. Our topic for Newman Guide News today, our Holy Father, of course, Pope Leo XIV. Kelly, it has to be exciting for you to hear from a lot of the young people who were in Rome for the announcement, Habemus Papam. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Habemus Papam. Great to be back with you, Teresa, with a Holy Father chosen in Rome.
Amen. All right. So what are the young people saying? What are you hearing?
Yes. So, you know, many of our faithful Catholic colleges that we recommend in the Newman Guide have study abroad programs. And so many students were present in St. Peter's for the announcement of the new pope, including several different colleges. The University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota has semester-long study abroad programs for students, but also has a May semester called the Maymester. So students gathered in St. Peter's Square that morning. The professors decided to hold class from St. Peter's Square so that they wouldn't miss anything with the smoke coming out.
No way, from St. Peter's Square?
Yes, love it.
That is so cool. How'd they do that?
Let's learn right from history itself, right? No need to open our textbooks that morning.
Wow.
And that's really what many of these study abroad programs, you know, they go around to the churches and the sculptures and the paintings, and they learn from what's there right in front of them, and that guides their courses over there. So these students were in St. Peter's Square that morning. One student, Maddie, who's a nursing student at the University of Mary, she's from Wisconsin, she said she's had immediate joy to the point
of tears. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me, Teresa?
Kelly?
Yes.
Oh, I lost you for a second. Honey, go ahead. We dropped out. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So Maddie is a nursing student from Wisconsin at the University of Mary, and she said she had immediate joy to the point of tears when the new Holy Father was announced. Another student, Nathaniel, a Catholic studies major from Minnesota, said the announcement gave him great hope and anticipation for the life of the church, and he plans to enter seminary after his studies at the University of Mary. These students commented wow. on seeing so many flags from different countries, so many different languages being spoken in St. Peter's Square, and these University of Mary students look forward to attending Pope Leo's installation mass on May 18th.
Wow. So they get to be there for both the big election and the announcement, and now for the installation mass.
Yes. How wonderful. And, you know, many of the Newman Guide colleges who've had study abroad programs for a long time, like Christendom College in Front Royal, Virginia, has had theirs for about 20 years. So they've had students at the announcement of Pope Benedict in 2005, at Pope Francis in 2013. And so they had students again who attended the final Easter Sunday Mass with Pope Francis and then were there in St. Peter's for the announcement about Pope Leo as well.
Wow. We're talking with Kelly Solomon, the Vice President of Newman Guide Program. She joins us once a week on Tuesdays for our Newman Guide News. And we're talking about the reaction of young people, college students who were at the opportunity, very good Catholic colleges, bringing kids to, as Kelly said, overseas to study in Italy, particularly Rome, and seeing church history up close and personal. It is so different, Kelly, when you're there. And I know you said, I think you said you've made a trip to Italy already, but when you are there and you're actually in the midst of history, I mean, you're always in the midst of history when you're in a place like Rome or whether you're in Florence or wherever, but right. to be see it happening right before your eyes.
Yes. And I think that's one of the aspects of these Newman Guide colleges that attracts students to them. I know, you know, for example, the University of Dallas has had a long-standing Rome experience program, more than 50 years, and almost all sophomores attend their Rome experience, so spend a whole semester their sophomore year in Rome. And University of Dallas has a beautiful campus over there of more than 14 acres. And I think it's really attractive to students that, you know, this isn't a study abroad program where you're connected with another secular university, where it's just a chance to get over to Italy. But this is actually integrated within the curriculum of the University of Dallas. And so you're studying all these core subjects from University of Dallas professors, with University of Dallas staff, with your peers from the University of Dallas. And I think it's a big drawing point for students to want to attend one of these good Catholic colleges because they'll be able to experience the heart of the church from an authentically Catholic perspective that's totally integrated with everything they're studying.
And I love the professor who said, we're not going to have class, but we are going to have it. We're having it right here in St. Peter's Square.
Exactly. Exactly. What better class? They'll definitely remember that class. They'll remember that day. They'll remember being in St. Peter's and being surrounded by their peers and their faculty members from these Catholic colleges that I know so many of them keep in touch with and form friendships and relationships that last for the rest of their lives.
That was my next question, and is do you find that those who have gone through similar programs, because you mentioned earlier papacies with Benedict and, of course, Francis and JP II from these good Catholic colleges who had the similar experience, that the enthusiasm, that it really does impact on the enthusiasm of faith and relationships?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I see the number of marriages pouring out of these colleges. I see the number of vocations. I see Newman Guide graduates meeting up in different locations around the country because they have that similar experience, that similar foundation that's propelled them, that's helped them to prepare for, you know, whatever work they're doing. If they're an engineer, an architect, if they're a priest, right? How is God asking them to make a gift of their lives to their family, their church, their world?
Yeah, that's just awesome. So are you going to be featuring this, any stories online in the Newman Guide, or are these stories going to be shared in other ways?
Yes, you know, if readers and listeners tune into the Cardinal Newman Society social media channels, we've been sharing from all of our Newman Guide schools and colleges about how they have been educating students about the papal conclave and for the papal election. Another one of the stories, Teresa, that I've been sharing with some of my friends and contacts came out of Christendom as well, of how a Christendom College alumna was chosen to read the first reading at Pope Leo XIV's first Mass in the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yes.
How cool.
So he's a small
that?
Catholic college, right? They only have a student body of about 500 students. It's one of their alumna who's chosen to give the first reading, and her name is Sister Mary Mercy. She graduated from Christendom College in 2002, and she's a Franciscan Sister of the Eucharist. And she worked in, actually, Teresa, you'd be interested in Catholic communications. You may have run into her over the years because she was a writer for the National Catholic Register at one point.
Oh, okay. I thought the name sounded familiar. Yes. Wow.
Well, and so she ended up running the blog for Catholic Match, which I'm sure you've heard of, to connect
right.
Catholic singles to find their spouse. And it was at that time that she discerned she actually had a vocation to religious life. And
wow.
So she entered the Franciscan Sisters of the Eucharist, and she just took her perpetual vows. And then she was proudly and humbly offering the first reading at Pope Leo XIV's first Mass. It was very beautiful.
How could she even get through that? I would be a bowl of quivering jello. I'd have been so emotional at that point. I mean, come on.
I know. What an honor. What a blessing.
Cool.
Yes. Truly amazing.
Wow. Great stories. All right, my dear. So hang on, because we have another part to this interview. Just want to remind everyone we're talking with, as we do every Tuesday, Kelly Solomon from the Newman Guide program. She serves there as a vice president of Newman Guide programs. The topic, the Newman Guide news, of course, every week here. Talking more about our Holy Father. We'll be right back. Continuing our fantastic conversation about our new Pope, Leo XIV, from an educational perspective, chatting as we do every Tuesday morning with Kelly Solomon. She's a vice president of Newman Guide Programs, and we are talking Newman Guide news connected to our new Pope, Leo XIV. Now, this is a somewhat of a sobering topic, but it's something that has to be addressed because I'm sure the Pope is aware of this, especially being an American. And I'm hoping that this issue of education, will the Newman Guide be maybe sending him a letter or helping him understand what's going on with Catholic education? What's the approach right now on this topic with the new Pope, Kelly?
Sure. So one thing our president, Patrick Riley, has been drawing attention to is that there is a real crisis in Catholic education. You know, we love touting the great work of Newman Guide schools and colleges, and the number of these schools and colleges and graduate programs we recommend is growing every year. And we're working with more and more educators who want to turn things around and really stand for strong Catholic identity, which is the great news. But there is some sobering news in Catholic education, and that's really the decline we've seen overall in our country. You know, that we had more than 5 million students in Catholic schools in the 1960s, and now we're down to 1.7 million students today. So obviously that's a huge plummet in Catholic school enrollment. And it is, you know, reflected by that post I sent you, Teresa, of what we've seen even at the schools where Pope Leo was raised.
Yeah, that's a huge issue. And I think the good news is I think that there's a lot of positive things happening. I mean, you just mentioned all those students and the type of education they're getting in the good Catholic schools. But we've got to go back to square one and rebuild our Catholic schools. Do you think that's beginning to happen?
I do. I think that Catholic families have woken up to that they won't just attend any Catholic school or college without it, you know, being faithfully Catholic 100% across the board. And we've also seen just so many more educators. I mean, here in our work at Cardinal Newman Study, so many more principals and superintendents who reach out to us, who want to work with us, who want to implement stronger academic standards, stronger policies in every aspect of what they're doing. So there is definitely a great revival taking place. We've seen an increase in Catholic homeschooling, Catholic hybrid models, Catholic independent schools that are started up by parents, growth in the Chesterton schools models and other great Catholic options. You know, but again, unfortunately, if we look at the school, grade school, where Pope Leo was educated, unfortunately, is closed. The Catholic high school he attended is closed. His college seminary is closed. The Catholic school where his father was a principal, unfortunately, closed. And also the two Catholic schools where his mother was a librarian, also closed. Right? And this is reflective, I think, of the broader trend we've seen in our country of hundreds of Catholic schools closing every year since the 1960s. And what can we do to provide for the education of our young people, that every Catholic youth needs a Catholic education in one form or another that is faithful and accessible?
You know, that is really, I wonder, and I'm sure you would be familiar with it because you're so on top of all these stories about education. Have you heard any buzz maybe in Catholic circles from the Archdiocese of Chicago about that, like behind the scenes, say, you know, we need to kind of look at this based on what you just cited in terms of all these places associated with the new Pope that are now closed?
Right. You know, and there's so many different factors that contribute to these schools closing, from the decrease in religious sisters in our country. I mean, in the 1970s, we had 160,000 religious sisters in our country, and today we're down to 35,000. You know, shifting demographics, shifting neighborhoods, the cost of Catholic education. But again, I think we can't be remiss to also mention the fact that many Catholic schools have secularized over the years. And if they're not offering anything different than what our secular schools are providing, why would Catholic families, you know, make the effort to make Catholic education accessible to their children?
Yeah. We are having a great discussion, as we always do every Tuesday, with our guest, Kelly Solomon. She's the Vice President of Newman Guide News, and the topic, of course, for our Newman Guide News. She's Vice President of Newman Guide Programs, excuse me, and we have her on every Tuesday for Newman Guide News, talking about a number of issues with the Holy Father, the new Pope, Pope Leo XIV, facing a crisis of Catholic education. You know, when I look at what's happening in terms of the growth of the Catholic Church and so many young people joining, especially in Europe, I do have a lot of hope. What do you think we can do with this new spirit of the Holy Father to impact Catholic education in a positive way? Kelly, what do you think?
Sure. Well, one thing we're seeing is that number of vocations is being turned around in no small part by Newman Guide institutions. I mean, I just mentioned, you know, Teresa, the small number of religious sisters we have today compared to several years ago. But if you look at a place, again, like Christendom College, I'm giving them a big shout out today, they have 100 alumni priests, again, founded in 1977 with a student body of 500. Now, I did some math, Teresa, and I saw that if every Catholic college in the country would produce just the same number of priests as Christendom College is producing, not even changing for different size of student bodies, that would mean an additional 400 ordinations a year, which would bring us back to the level that we had in the 1970s.
I can't even imagine that. That would be incredible. And you know what's sad too is I wonder if people stop and think about this. You know, I was reading a story. I don't know if you heard it. That was from this group, Catholics for Choice, and they're so upset. They don't like this Holy Father, which I guess for those of us who do our best to follow church teaching, that's good. They say they don't like the fact that he oh my gosh, that he's Catholic. What a concept! But they're getting statements together from Catholics who are supporting reproductive freedom, blah, blah, blah. And they actually said they're sending these statements to him in hopes that he will open his mind and heart. And I'm thinking, this is the Pope. This is the Vicar of Christ. It's supposed to be the other way around. You don't call up and start dictating to the leader of 1.4 billion Catholics who has been chosen through the intercession of the Holy Spirit by the princes of the church, the apostolic succession. It's like, no, no. It's so frustrating, but at the same time, we have to pray for them. And I know I used to be, before I came back to the church, very pro-choice, and I thought I knew so much, but I didn't. But at the same time, it's like, oh, my heart just breaks when I hear things like that. And that's a result of bad education.
It is. It is. I think there's a large part that it's a result of poor education, because how many Catholics were brought up and taught the truths of our faith, that life begins at conception, and that, yes, we should be praying for the Holy Father and thanking the Holy Spirit for his inspiration and guidance for the church.
Yeah, yeah. And so I really think that we just need to continue to pray and to really share with people and talk about the beauty of the faith, but also encourage parents, especially if they have young kids or maybe they're new parents, to think about how important it is to make sure that they're getting, those kids are getting a good Catholic education.
It is, you know, and I think about my own kids and in a great Catholic school, and we're so blessed to have that partnering with us, and how, you know, there was my one of my little sons turned 7 on the day the Pope was elected, and how, you know, he was in his Catholic school watching this live, and they were cheering and running down the hallways when the white smoke came out. And I'm like, that's what Catholic education is all about, that he will always remember his 7th birthday. Those Christendom College students in Rome will always remember when the new Holy Father was announced and how great that they were immersed in Catholic education through it and are learning the truths of our faith and will be taught that truth from a young age, that we can't be okay with whatever the world is offering our young people, that we have to seek out and provide them with the very best we can possibly find.
You know, what's so interesting too, is I was interviewing Father Paul Scalia in the first part of the program this morning. He had a great article in the Catholic Thing talking about faith and, you know, the positive faith of the church and whatnot. He was saying that, as you just said, it's like, it's not as if the world is offering us at something that's so amazing. If you think about all the problems, right? I mean, if you just look at relationships, look at the problems of the sexual, so-called sexual revolution and that continued fallout. People are miserable. People are searching. And so to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, that's why, going back to that statement from Catholics for Choice, we want the Pope to open his heart and mind. It's like, what?
Yeah.
To what? What are they open to? First of all, that's so ridiculous in terms of the ego. You know, I always thought ego is an acronym, easing God out. But what does abortion offer? And they say, well, they said, Kelly, in the statement, they want him to be more inclusive. And I'm thinking, really? So what about the million babies that are killed every year? We kind of not including them in anything.
Right. This is where students need to be offered this pro-life education that values the human person from the very beginning. And wow, I mean, that is just so sad when Catholics are advocating for abortion with ultrasounds and technology and the growth of the human baby in the womb. It's so clear that this is a human life.
Yeah, and the impact on women and families. I mean, there's so many people that I know that have had abortions or been associated with abortion. And that's why, you know, it's so important to pray for them and to provide them with great resources like Project Rachel and Silent No More and others. But this idea, it goes back to the basics of the Garden of Eden, where we want to tell God what to do and he has to listen to us. When it's supposed to be the other way around, right? And that's why I'm so grateful for your work, Kelly. Thank you. This is really, really two great segments. I mean, every week you're great, but this is obviously very, I think, timely, going right to the heart of what we're discussing. So what's coming up with your folks? What good stuff and more resources are you producing over the next couple of weeks and months?
Sure. Well, we will be announcing our scholarship contest winner later this week. She is a high school senior who will be attending the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota this fall, and she won our $5,000 scholarship contest, and she'll be eligible for $5,000 scholarships years 2, 3, and 4 from the University of Mary to match our scholarship. And so I encourage Catholic families who are listening to go to our website and sign up now for their rising high school junior or senior to be eligible for our scholarship that's really up to a $20,000 prize over the course of 4 years.
Oh, this is exciting. Thank you so, so much. And hey, do you think we could talk about the winner next week on our segment?
That would be great. I'd love to share more about our scholarship contest winner for the Newman Guide this year.
Great. Sounds wonderful. So, Kelly, where do we find more information about your wonderful work at the Newman Guide?
Sure. Go to CardinalNewmanSociety.org. That's N-E-W-M-A-N, CardinalNewmanSociety.org. Sign up for our emails and stay on the loop, latest in the loop in Catholic education.
All right, my dear, you have a great week and a weekend, and look forward to, I think next week I'm actually pre-recorded because I'm all pilgrimage, and on pilgrimage, maybe we can chat with you and tape a segment until we can make sure we have all the information, especially the new winner of the contest.
Awesome.
That will be very exciting.
Sounds great,
okay?
Teresa. Have a
right,
wonderful
appreciate
pilgrimage.
Appreciate it. Yes, okay. God bless you.